something awfully fishy going on with the Little Mermaid reviews. And of course, this is a mediocre to sub-mediocre movie. There are a lot of reasons why. You can watch maybe the Critical Drinker talk about just how visually boring it is and how long, drawn out, and painstakingly just underwhelming the film is. Kids will like it because it's a mermaid, and parents will take their kids because it's a cheap babysitter for a few hours. But the film itself is not being well reviewed. And so several websites now have banded together to silence viewers from leaving their actual reviews. It's getting so bad that news media outlets are referring to, you know, the global reviews of it as like just the worst thing ever. It's just, oh, it's so evil. People in international markets don't like The Little Mermaid. This is why the casting happens the way that it does. It provides an amazing shield to Hollywood, because if you don't like The Little Mermaid, well, then you're a racist. If you do like it, you're stunning and brave. Either way, Disney wins. And the idea that IMDb shifted its entire review process now and warned their customers that, you know, they're not allowed to leave negative reviews, it's wild. IMDb has now become just another woke piece of trash, just like Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, it's insane how they want to silence people. It's so funny how all of these losers that will write about review brigading, they never say anything about the millions of 10 out of 10s that seem to, come up all the time. They don't call those random 10 out of 10s review brigading. It's only the ones or zeros, that those are the negative ones. It's so funny how often they ignore that. You see, like, Rotten Tomatoes, if we look at it, I actually haven't refreshed this. I was going to do it the other day, but look at that. Nothing changed. So they lead with the verified ratings. And so what are verified ratings? It's supposed to be reviews left by people who had bought through the app and left a review. The movie has almost $200 million in the box office, and I'm supposed to believe there's just 5,000 reviews. This is fake reviews. This is ridiculous. And if you look at, let's see, top critics, oh, suddenly it's rotten. If we look at all audience, suddenly it's rotten. This is the actual reviews for Little Mermaid. But in my opinion, Rotten Tomatoes, as we've seen, works closely with Disney and Marvel. Remember when Rotten Tomatoes changed the whole system so that Captain Marvel wouldn't have negative reviews? That's exactly what they're doing here. You have 25,000 plus people there, and they've limited it to 5,000. It's like when Amazon did this for Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power. People that have actually watched the show, they would just say, oh, well, you didn't jump through enough hoops, so we get to review, we get to, you know, release your 1 out of 10 with a 7-paragraph review. We're going to let through all these 10 out of 10s that have like one or two words, like neat, great, awesome, fascinating. But this is the real score of The Little Mermaid. It's a 48 and it's a 56. But you get all these articles. Little Mermaid review brigading leads IMDb to issue warning to fans to make their own minds up. The Little Mermaid suffered a fair amount of backlash for its casting, we all know. You see, our rating mechanism has detected unusual voting activity on this title. To preserve the reliability of our rating system, an alternate weighting calculation has been applied. Although we accept and consider all votes received by users, not all votes have the same impact or weight on the final rating. Oh, you're there. I mean, what? This is exactly what I expected. You know, sites like IMDb, you know why IMDb used to be like, how Rotten Tomatoes got popular? It's because you got to read people's reviews. But now they've become so bloated and so dependent on Hollywood money for advertising that they run defense. You know, this is not a 7 out of 10 movie. It just isn't. But IMDb now says it is. Now, they say, you know, The Little Mermaid splashes to $164 million global, which is not that amazing. I mean, the movie's got to make $600-700 million just to break even. I've said before, I really have no barometer on how these live action remakes do in the box office because, I mean, The Lion King made $1 billion. Who knows? People will go see these movies regardless. $164 million is certainly something. But then they'll say, there's something fishy overseas as the Disney movie beset by review brigading, but it's only overseas people now. Korea's SBS News reported heading into the weekend that the film had been subject to a ratings terror. In an article against whose title, Korean entertainment website Zapsy translated backlash against Black Mermaid, appearance ridiculed, ratings drop on day one. On the ratings portal of Korea's Naver, over the week, past several days, there's been a trend of negative reviews receiving hundreds of likes, positive reviews getting hundreds of downvotes. Okay, are there people on the planet who genuinely have problems with Black people? Of course. And that's dumb. You should have a problem with somebody for who they are, what they say. Most people give us plenty of reason to hate them based on the things that they do or the actions that they have. And I think just looking at their skin color and having an opinion about them is lazy and troubling. But, you know, you also look at some of these other countries, you know, we're constantly told how bad the West is, how terrible America is. But the fact of the matter is you look at China, you know, for example, which, you know, Disney depends on for money. You know, if it weren't for China, most of their movies wouldn't even break even. They ignore that. They pretend like it doesn't exist. The review brigading stopped in its tracks. I mean, what? Everybody's writing, but The Little Mermaid is being review brigaded, but IMDb is taking action. Oh, anybody who gives a 10 out of 10 is probably let right through. Furthermore, IMDb issued a warning on their American, Canadian, British, Brazilian, and Mexican sites that reads our rating mechanism detected unusual voting activity. Now, are there people that adults start fighting at Little Mermaid premiere and ruin movie for the kids? Yep. I'm not surprised. Parents demand refund after adults fight at the Little Mermaid. I would too. Four adults were all standing up, completely blocking the screen. Moviegoers who started talking and wanted refunds for their tickets. I think they should. This is poor behavior. But again, all these articles, it's ridiculous. You see, The Little Mermaid offers a glimpse of a bleak movie future. Once in college, I was in a lab class where I did a study involving male betta fish and Prozac. Betta fish, as anyone knows, who is owned knows, need to live alone because they are aggressive little punks. If you hold up a mirror to one side of the tank, they will try to attack their reflection, unless you give them Prozac, which is precisely what we did. However, once the fish were sufficiently under the influence, it struck me that they did not appear to be keeping the peace because they were happier and had suddenly discovered the meaning of friendship, but because they had been sapped of all their energy. They simply no longer cared and could not be bothered. It is these lethargic, tranked out fish that kept coming to mind watching the new Little Mermaid, and not just the memeably pathetic looking flounder. Vaguely dazed Aura screams, "Fish on drugs." Not the fun kind. The entire film feels lethargic, tranked out, arguably the most artlessly formulaic of all the Disney action remakes to date. A noteworthy achievement considering the particular subgenre on the whole is a collection of films so lifelessly regurgitated that calling them remakes feels like an insult to other remakes. I mean, is this somebody who is a review brigader? You know, is it? I don't think so. It's so funny, though, when you look at now they're just calling all these other countries racist. Like, China box office, Fast 10 wins second weekend while Little Mermaid flops, sparks debate on racism, casting, and political correctness. Now they want to talk about it. When their little movie, by the way, I have no problem with Halle Bailey. I don't think she's a very good actress, but I'm undeniably a talented singer. But that's not what. I mean, there are a lot of songs in The Little Mermaid that are very memorable. The songs that were in The Little Mermaid remake are all pretty terrible, even if they are well sung. And I think it's hilarious to me that, like, now all these media outlets are turning on China. Many Chinese netizens said that they like Snow White. The image of the mermaid princess in Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tales has long been rooted in their hearts, and it takes a leap of an imagination to accept a new cast. The same editorial accused Disney of political correctness, an argument similar to the woke accusations by the political right wing in the United States, and said that the film would not perform well in the East Asia markets. Well, it didn't. It didn't. Right? Disney has a particularly difficult line to tread in China. It operates theme parks in Shanghai and Hong Kong and has long been in the Hollywood studio, most invested in the Middle Kingdom. But the past controversies over Mulan, the Chloe Zhao directed The Eternals, also demonstrate finding a happy medium between China and the U.S. is tricky for the multinational when national security concerns and political sensitiveness take such prominent positions in debates. Well, there's one way that you could avoid that, right? Strangely, while audience ratings on a scale of 1 to 10 are a common figure of popular film discussion in China, neither Maoyan nor rival ticketing firm Tao Pai Pio, I don't know, currently provide an audience rating review score for The Little Mermaid. Readers on the film site Douban gave the film a limp 5.3 score based on 18,000 assessments. It probably is a 5.3. That's actually not that... I mean, that's what this movie is. It's not very good. And now I love how they're just calling every other country racist now because they don't want to see this movie. It's funny. It's just funny to me. The whole thing's hilarious. The movie sucks, is always going to suck, and then they're just trying to use Halle Bailey's blackness as a shield for a poor movie. Nobody's shocked. I have some great news, some excellent news to share with you, and that is that Bud Light is actually about to lose its number one position in the United States beer market, and it's 110% because of all of you. That's right. It's because of the continued boycott, the continued drop in sales, as their stock is now completely plummeting. Numerous articles hit today saying America's national beer could soon be Mexican as Memorial Day weekend sales drop plunges Bud Light further into crisis. This is the future. This is a monumental win, and it's not over yet. Until they say uncle, the boycott continues, and I'm just so happy to report on this. America's national beer could soon be Mexican as Memorial Day weekend sales drop plunges Bud Light even further. I mean, this is insane how bad this is getting. Like in every conceivable way, Bud Light now risks losing the number one spot in the United States as sales plunge 25.7% in the latest week. This is why you don't get woke, folks. Bud Light sales suffered the worst week ever, falling 25.7%, endangering its status as the number one beer brand, according to latest data provided to the Post on Tuesday. The plunge follows a 24.6% decline in the previous week, and the sixth straight week sales have been hit since Dylan Mulvaney promoted Bud Light on April 1st. The precipitous drop has narrowed the gap in sales between Bud Light and its nearest rival, Modelo Especial, which saw its sales surge 9.2% for the week ending May 20th, according to Bump Williams Consulting. Now, I have to check something. The Modelo, who owns it? Is it owned by Anheuser-Busch? Dang it. It's owned by Anheuser-Busch. So I was going to say, everyone should just switch to Modelo so that Bud Light loses its number one spot. But no, because then we're still supporting Anheuser-Busch. So stop drinking Modelo too, by the way. While Bud Light loses week after week, Modelo Especial gains week after week. And now Modelo outsells Bud Light on a national basis across all trade channels combined, Bump Williams, who runs consulting firm, told The Post. If this continues, Modelo will surpass Bud Light for the year, he added. Anheuser-Busch InBev owns both brands, but does not control Modelo in the United States, where it is owned by a New York-based conglomerate, Constellation Brands. Now, here's a tough one for the comment section. Is it worth investing our time in buying Modelo if it proves the point, if Bud Light now has to admit it is no longer the number one beer? Or do you double boycott? I just feel like the headlines of it falling out of the number one spot would probably be pretty spicy, embarrassing for them as they've sat there for so long. But then we're still supporting Anheuser-Busch InBev, so there's that. This is a big achievement for Modelo, but it's short-term, said Ben Steinman, editor of Beer Markers Insights. Constellation is closing the gap and has said it wants to be the number one beer. Well, who doesn't? For the four-week period that ended May 20th, Bud Light sales were down 24.3% compared with Modelo's 8% growth. That's a monumental decline, Williams told The Post. Modelo has surpassed Bud Light for the first time since it was launched in 1982. Bud Light sales have been in a free fall since Mulvaney released the photos of themselves swinging the beer in the bubble bath, swinging it. Bud Light also sent a tall boy with Dylan's image on it. The backlash has caused sales of Anheuser-Busch to dive. For the week ending May 20th, Budweiser plunged 11.2%, Michelob Ultra down 6.5%, Busch was off 5.2%, and Natty Ice was down 5%. Modelo hasn't been the only competitor to benefit from Bud Light's seismic miscalculation. Yuengling, which built itself as the oldest American brewery, has seen sales of Yuengling Flight soar by a whopping 47.6% and a lager spike by 32% over a four-week period. That is insane. You know what's crazy? If it wasn't called Yuengling, it probably would already be number one. People probably just think, oh, Yuengling, it's not an American beer. It just doesn't sound American off the tongue. But it is, and I feel like, you know, you see red team red, white, and blue. It says Let's Go USA on there. I mean, 50% spike is insane. Based in Pottsville, PA, the beer is distributed to just 25 states and operates just three breweries in Pennsylvania and Tampa, Florida. Yuengling is having a great moment with the constant growth of all the premium beers, Williams said. Coors Light, Miller Lite, and Pabst Blue Ribbon have all seen double-digit sales increase. Pabst? I wouldn't say that PBR is like on the same, is PBR a light beer? I mean, I drink a lot of PBR at concerts because the tall boys are $3, but I never really thought it was a light beer. It's always been a beer that you can count on to give you a wicked headache. Demand for Bud Light over the crucial Memorial Day weekend, the official kickoff for summer beer buying season, was lukewarm, with many store shelves still holding cases of the once mighty beer, Williams said after a spot check of local stores. That, at least one store is trying to unload 24-pack of Bud Light for $3.49. I mean, this is just great. Now, if we look at the Budweiser stock, the Bud Light stock, it is down another 3% today. Over 5 days, it's down 8%. I mean, these are huge cliffs to fall off of, and it's not stopping. I mean, if this is over the last month, it's down 17.87%. 20% drop. And if you go after 6 months, it's completely erased the gains that it had. It was at an all-time high, and it's now at probably a multi-year low. I mean, this is over the this is at nearly a five-year low. The all-time low was probably like, what, $40.30. That's as bad as it's ever got. And at this rate, it will be there by the end of next month. I mean, it is a one-year low, for sure. It's the lowest. No, it isn't the lowest it's been in a year, because it's dropped down in the low $45 range. So it's about to come up on its one-year low. But this is just awesome, you know, for in all senses of the word. Bud Light is reeling. Their truck drivers are quitting. Now, I don't support getting after the truck drivers. These are just men and women who are trying to pay their bills and just get on with their life. I 100% don't support that. But, you know, Bud Light truck drivers are targeted, calling them gay beer salesmen, making these people want to quit their jobs. There's been reports of people, quitting their jobs over it. It is so amazing. You see this in American craft beer. Bud Light beer pronounced sick going into Memorial Day holiday. Bud Light's decision to showcase, we already know. We already know how this happens. Sales of the U.S.'s number one beer were down 24%. It's not just a Bud Light issue. You know, the whole Bud Light is sick. Bump Williams, founder of the consultancy, said of the U.S. top-selling beer, which raked in $5 billion in sales last year. It's now infected other healthy brands within the InBev portfolio. And I think that you should probably look at Modelo. If everyone's switching to Modelo thinking it's safe, it's not. It's also owned by InBev. This opinion piece by Rich Lowry is really good too, saying the Bud Light meltdown is good for America. Some corporations had to show how woke marketing could cost an iconic American brand dearly in terms of its image, its sales, and market capitalization. So it's through its special beer can produced for Dylan Mulvaney, Anheuser-Busch, in effect, volunteered for this duty. The CEO of General Motors didn't really say it in the 1950s. What's good for GM is good for the country. Still, to paraphrase a famous misquotation of the auto executive Charles Wilson, what's terrible for Bud Light sales is good for America. With every viral anti-Bud Light video and 12-pack moldering on the store shelves of the warehouse, the message is being sent to other corporations that gratuitous forays into culture war is risky. Target has directly learned the same lesson with its Pride apparel and removed some clothes and made associated displays less prominent. Coupled with ongoing contention over Disney, whose image has taken a big hit among Republicans, the flare-ups raise the prospect that we've entered a new era of conservative consumer power. Again, I don't really view this as a conservative versus liberal thing. I view this as, you know, regular everyday people, who are sick of having stuff like this crammed in their face. There's no doubt the rise of social media has made it possible to spread the word quickly about controversies, and conservatives are newly attuned to how corporations can trespass against their values and interests. That said, the recent boycott successes are not necessarily replicatable. The Bud Light proved uniquely vulnerable. It's a brand that was all-American product, the go-to beer for barbecues, hunting trips, and ball games, as easily enjoyed and uncontroversial as a flyover on the 4th of July. The Dylan Mulvaney promotion was hilariously off-brand. Why should a beer company, especially an unpretentious mass-marketed beer company, be associated itself with a gay man who's decided he's a woman and prances around like a teenager? What is it about Dylan Mulvaney that says beer or middle America? Mulvaney made it worse by creating indelible imagery, dressing like Holly Golightly from Breakfast at Tiffany's in one video with a bunch of Bud Light and relaxing in a bathtub in another. What transpired is more than a boycott. Bud Light has become a national joke. Its signature red, white, and blue, or blue and white cans and bottles now stand for ineptitude and out-of-touch marketing. Picking up six packs shows you aren't in on the joke. The advantage of Bud Light was that it was widely known and readily available. The problem is that its competitors were just as readily available. And it's great for this country. Now, I don't like how it can spiral a little bit. But for Bud Light, I say keep the pressure on. Seeing all of the absolute meltdown and dramatics from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez some jokes, literally threatening to quit Twitter, absolutely seething about jokes, absolutely having a complete meltdown. It is so hilarious to me that I just had to share it with you. AOC, in a Twitter tizzy, warns her followers over a parody account mocking her, unironically making that parody account far more popular. Far-left Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez warned her Twitter followers Tuesday that an account parodying her posts was gaining steam after her nemesis, Elon Musk, engaged with it. Quote, FYI, there's a fake account on here impersonating me and going viral. The Twitter CEO has engaged it, boosting visibility, the Bronx Queens Democrat posted. Now, this is the post. Now, first of all, it's very easy to see. It's very easy to see who's real and who isn't, because communist grifter bartender Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has a gray checkmark indicating that they are in fact a government official. The parody account, which is literally AOC, like press secretary or something like that. Let me give them shout out. AOC Press. It says parody and it has a blue checkmark. This is very easy to tell. Very, very easy for people to see. And then she nearly gets ratioed by the parody account replying, I'm still not going to date you. And all of the memes are just so great. Like the Right to Bear meme, CSUN, all you have to do is add the word parody and AOC account goes, here's leftism saying it literally says parody and has a blue check while you have a gray check. Also, your Twitter handle is AOC, while this Twitter handle is AOC Press. It's you know, everybody on the right is having a absolute. The fact that you acknowledged the troll is what makes it so beautiful, so amazing. I mean, it's great. It's absolutely great. Sounds like you see here. Thanks, just followed at AOC Press, which I'm already following. You see, saying the quiet part out loud parody. Her says saying the quiet part out loud. That's just showing the follow. And what's interesting was even for a short period of time, the account lost its blue check mark. So somebody inside of Twitter probably got their undies in a bundle. And you see, you know it's a parody account, right? It literally says parody on it. She boosted the account not even knowing it's her. I mean, what an amazing... actually, what I should do is take a look at Social Blade, because this, some of the tweets from this account are absolute gold, because you're in a situation where, you know, like, the clown world is so real that you don't even really know what's real and what's not anymore. So here's this genius AOC Press account that I definitely don't run, that had got, it looks like some people, maybe there was some confusion, there's a bunch of people unfollowed on one day, but maybe they were bots, I don't exactly know for sure. But then 4,000 every time, that then you see Monday 9,316, and then Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has a meltdown. And she's literally a kingmaker. 108,000 followers in a single day, now to 190,000. And then if you look at the live count so far today, let's see, maybe we can get them another 100,000. The live count is, 226,799. It looks like there's probably a lot of people watching this because... Social Blade seems to be running a little low. Whoops! Up to 285,000. So it's up another 100,000. It's at 95,000 new followers today, all because AOC had a little melty about it. So it's releasing false policy statements and gaining spread. I am assessing with my team how to move forward. In the meantime, be careful what you see. Oh, you know this broad's going to sue. You know that they're going to sue, and they're just going to kick and scream. The joke account labeled Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez press release parody responded minutes later, mocking the progressive firebrand's overly serious reaction with its trademark snark. Quote, after brainstorming with my staff, I'm going to push Congress to make it illegal to joke, laugh, or make fun of me, it said. Parody should be illegal. I can't believe someone would do that to us, another message from the comedy account read. Another declared, I'm having my staff report every single tweet that makes fun of me to the Department of Justice. Oh, man. One post has been viewed nearly 400,000 times when it took a shot at the lawmakers' climate change agenda. Quote, to make windmills more effective when the wind doesn't blow, we should have helicopters hover over each of them to keep them turning year-round. Oh my God. The spoof, which has tweeted almost 60 times over the past 3 days, drew attention of the congresswoman after Musk, Twitter's CEO, responded to one of its Sunday posts with a fire emoji. This might be the wine talking, but I've got a crush on Elon Musk. The message in question read, the joke followed a series of acrimonious exchanges between Musk and Ocasio-Cortez after he took over the social media platform last year, with the congresswoman tying the acquisition to an explosion in hate crimes. When a Twitter user asked Musk, who had once complimented the squad's members' taste in lipstick, whether the continued contention was a form of flirting, the Tesla CEO said AOC would never date him because he wasn't cool enough. The fake AOC followed up Tuesday afternoon with a faux coitish message. I don't know that word. Coitish? If Elon Musk wants to have a chance with me, he'll immediately ban the parody account of me. This is like literally not funny. The account added, imitating Ocasio-Cortez's millennial patter. A tweet later, it went even further, saying, like, literally. I mean, this is so amazing to me. The fact that she's coping and seething and wanting to quit Twitter over it, the fact that they even said anything. And then you see, look at this, Melty. Exclusive, Twitter is failing to remove 99% of hate speech posted by Twitter Blue users, new research found, instead maybe boosting paid accounts that spew phobia. I think Elon can do better. I am upset that even 1% of speech was banned. The idea, like, Ocasio-Cortez is going to go on an absolute warpath because she's having a complete meltdown. Her quote tweets are like an absolute gold mine. The AOC team is worried that a clearly marked parody account is being taken seriously and mistaken for the real AOC. Think about that. The fact that no one can tell the purposely stupid tweets and your real tweets, Lomao. Is this the parody page? Instead of fighting for poor people, this is what AOC is spending her time worrying about. All hail AOC Press. Here's Alex saying this is why AOC tweeted about AOC Press. She wanted them deplatformed again. This isn't Twitter 1.0 anymore. Comedy is legal on Twitter 2.0. I mean, that's what she wanted. She wanted them banned. There's absolutely no doubt about that. AOC threatens to leave Twitter after Elon Musk promotes disgusting account impersonating her. Well, maybe sound a little less like parody in real life, and it'll be okay. You see Aaron Rupar, this is disgusting even for Elon, in case it's not clear. The verified account is not actually AOC. Is Elon not allowed to make jokes? Are jokes illegal for Elon too? I mean, I love this timeline as like soul-crushing as it can be at times. It's absolutely amazing. I hope you're having a wonderful day. I am. I'm having a pretty good day considering everything that's going on with Target and their stock, which is plummeting. And it's just a good day to be not woke. And I want to talk about Target's interesting new, I don't know if I would call them leaks, but, you know, hidden videos, things like that that came out and look absolutely terrible for the company. Target Corp down $2.14 today, pretty sharply over the last 5 days, 10%. And if you look, it was actually headed up. Early in May, before the controversy broke, their stock was headed up. In fact, it peaked at $161 a share, and it has now plummeted $30 a share practically to $131.64. That is billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars that they've lost. You see this, Target just dumped its Pride merchandise. Here's where it all may go. Like the Target's reputation took a hit, and now the retailer needs to decide what to do with all the clothing in stores and warehouses. I'm not sure that they dumped everything, but Target loses $12.7 billion, sinks to this lowest level since the since 2020. Over boycotts, Target may have lost control of the narrative as financial losses, LGBT anger mounts, consumer researchers. So to an extent, they say, this research says, they have to weigh against how do you handle the issue of real potential employee safety, which is made up. Nobody actually threatened their employees, against losing so much earned trust within the community and the supporters of the community, which are very broad now across political lines. So it's a challenge. They have seemingly lost control of the narrative, she said. They might be doing the right thing to protect who they have on the floor. That's important to protect people and assets. But the way the conversation is happening right now is definitely not in their favor. It is very dangerous precedent to set. If people get riled up enough about the products that you're selling, you can completely distance yourself from the LGBT community when and if it's convenient, Eric Carnell told the outlet. So people on the left, or the allies, so to speak, are extremely angry. I've been on the record saying that I don't mind that they sell the things, just keep the stuff away from kids. I think that's a very moderate position to have. It's wild. They say it's beyond disappointing that Target is caving to political extremists and betraying its commitment to the LGBTQ plus community by removing and relocating items in its Pride collection from some of its stores. None of these people actually have to pay any bills or deal about their own safety. They care only about causing problems. I mean, this is the diversity, equity, and inclusion chief, Kira Fernandez, for Target, saying, quote, "One of the hardest things to be in the world every day is black." What?
One of the hardest things to be in the world every day is black.
No, it isn't. How about being hungry? How about being hopelessly addicted? How about being in prison? How about being religiously persecuted? How about being a literal slave, which exists in huge numbers still today? How about being in a bad relationship where your spouse raises your hand to you? I mean, I could go on and on and on. These people who view blackness as some sort of thing, some never-ending excuse for their own failures is ridiculous. Society today is bending over backwards to make opportunities for people. And if you don't capture them, you have no one else to blame but yourself, and certainly not your skin color.
One of the hardest things to be in the world every day is a woman.
Oh, so she's just really doing amazing things. Get out of here. Being a woman has never been easier. Even men are doing it.
So when you intersect those two things, you could easily identify differently if you wanted to, for protect, whatever, right? I'm not judging anybody.
Yes, you are. You're judging everyone else who isn't black and female and saying they have it easier than you. Target diversity chief demands white women get to work against America's systemic racism, which again does not exist. It's just this fake ceiling that these wokies put on other communities. Okay, there is absolutely nothing holding back anybody because of their skin color in the United States of America. And maybe white people, you could say, who are actively omitted from opportunities in creative fields because they're white. There are thousands of examples of that. Kira Fernandez singled out a white person and said that her voice on the basis of race would be given more weight in the workspace. One of the hardest things to do every day is to be black. Target has ramped up its DEI efforts, in particular after St. Floyd got sober in 2020. Target established the Racial Equity Action and Change, which is, of course, led by Fernandez, to rapidly accelerate those efforts. The task force focuses on engaging black customers in stores and ramping up promotions and hiring black employees. Well, that seems like, I mean, as far as I know, anyone can apply for a job at Target. And if they're not hiring you because you're black, you've got a big lawsuit on your hand. You're about to get rich. We're on track to spend more than $2 billion with black-owned brands by 2025. We've already increased our investments with black-owned companies and suppliers. So this is favoritism, right? You're not buying the best product. You're buying a product made by someone because of their skin color. That's what these lunatics, everything in their life revolves around skin color. Everything that is good, everything that is bad that happened is because of skin color. And everything that is good that has happened in spite of their skin color. There are more than one black billionaires, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure LeBron's a billionaire. I'm pretty sure that Oprah's a billionaire. What is Kardashian? She's not black, I don't think, right? I don't know. It's ridiculous. There's never been more opportunities for people, and there's never been more people lining up getting paid six-figure salaries to give them excuses of why they failed. Target stock has lost a whopping $12.7 billion over the past 2 weeks, hitting its lowest levels in nearly 3 years, as the cheap, chic discount retailer continues to face backlash over LGBTQ-friendly kids' clothing. Shares of the embattled chain were off 0.3% at $133.42. It's worse than that now. Early Wednesday trades after dropping for 8 straight sessions, the stock's longest losing streak since November 2018, giving the company a market capitalization of $61.6 billion. That's 17% off just 2 weeks earlier in May 18th. It's also the lowest level Target shares have seen since the company was recovering from the depths of the lockdowns in mid-2020. The ongoing losses are a result of a 14-day boycott that's triggered by Target's release of Pride, an LGBTQ-friendly line that includes clothing for children and tuck-friendly women's swimwear with extra crotch coverage. Who doesn't want that? I know I need it. Am I right? Am I right, fellas? Anyway, other items in the line included a onesie for a kid and a children's book. Now, this is the stuff where I'm talking about. "'Twas the Night Before Pride," and a handful of t-shirts donning LGBTQ-friendly slogans like "Live, Laugh, Lesbian." Again, there is things I think in this inventory that are fine, and then there are things in this inventory that I think are not fine. The tuck-friendly swimsuits in the women's section, all this kind of stuff is weird and cringe. You see, Target Pride backlash exposes rainbow capitalism's problem, designer said. Oh, okay, let's see what this part. They still look smart. Some conservative news outlets and Republican politicians labeled Carnell and his designs, which are printed on pins, stickers, and t-shirts, satanic. Oh, let's hear what the Satanist has to say. A false claim that his products in Target were marketed to kids. I agree. His products that were there were not. Criticisms for carrying Pride-related products have since begun to dog department store chains like Kohl's as well. Companies like Target that launch products and campaigns for Pride Month to seek profit from LGBTQ people, but fail to stand by them when the challenges arise, London-based Satanists said in an interview. It's a very dangerous precedent to set, that if people just get riled up enough about the products you're selling, you can completely distance yourself. How about just not getting involved? It seems pretty simple. It seems pretty simple to just not get involved. Am I wrong about that, friends? It's easy for my coffee company to not get involved. It just focuses on making coffee, tea, and delicious cocoa. And great Father's Day gifts. And this is not stopping. You know, there's endless. Target loses $12 billion in 14 days. That's actually more than $13 billion now. I mean, this is actually insane. $12 billion. There's no way they're selling that much Pride merchandise. That I could say. I think that for a lot of people, it's that they've just had enough. They've had enough of, you know, woke capitalism. They've had enough. I mean, Pride Month is a little incessant. An entire month, people have to get bombarded with this. Pride Day, fine. Pride Week, even fine. Pride Month, a whole month dedicated to 0.1% of the population or 1% of the population when you celebrate. You give dead veterans 24 hours. You know, like, this is the world we're living in. I guess they don't make enough money selling American flags, so then they work on this, which is absurd. You know I love me some calling out some hypocrisy, and we are about to head into the best month of the year to do it. That's right. 30 million days of being having LGBTQ advertising crammed down your throats. And the only real offset to help out here is to point out that none of these corporations actually care about the LGBTQ community. And anybody who thinks they do, they're wrong. And there is a mountain of evidence to back up my claim. And Blizzard is no different. See, my favorite memes around this month is always how all these video game companies talk about, oh my God, yes, it's just so, we must protect, we must do all this stuff. And then for some reason, they changed all their logos to rainbows. BMW does it. You know, Volkswagen does it. But for some reason, they don't do it in the Middle East. I thought they cared about the LGBTQ community. Now, in the United States, the LGBTQ community does not need the help of corporations. It needs it in Egypt. It needs it in Saudi Arabia, where they're getting thrown off roofs. It needs it in Uganda, where it's illegal, if I'm remembering that correctly. That's where it needs help. But see, corporations, see, they don't actually care about you. They don't care about the LGBTQ community. They don't care about Pride Month. They care about selling you crap and pushing their politics on unsuspecting kids, which is what Overwatch 2, a Blizzard game, has done. Now, no one's talking about Overwatch 2, so I suppose let's put out a pride parade that every kid or every user of the game has to get indoctrinated by this. It's absolute nonsense, and it makes me become more sympathetic to piracy every single day. You know, I know a lot of people are excited for Diablo 4, and you know what? I'm not gonna bring up Hong Kong and ruin it for you. Life is short, and I've said this over and over again. You know, I really still really like World of Warcraft, even with all of the problems, right? I still have a special, like, nostalgia for that game. It's pouring rain outside. You know, and I don't think people should be shamed for playing it. Look, life is short. If you like a Blizzard game, play the Blizzard game. If you want to play Diablo 4 and be excited about it, there is a million other fronts that you can fight woke garbage on. But here is a great tweet that is doing good. Blizzard is beyond parody. So they have this, the Omnic Post Pride short story, a new Overwatch short story called As You Are, was just released. It was written by Jen Stacy in honor of Pride Month. During a touching heart-to-heart between Pariah and Baptiste, it is revealed that, of course, she is a lesbian and Bap is actually bi. Everybody's gay! I mean, like, it is so funny. And you see, bad reviews for Overwatch. Nobody's playing the game. Blizzard freaking out. Player count going down. Release the gay! I mean, that's what this is. How about this? This is great. Only Blizzard could proudly announce how they are thinking of making a trans character and how the cast has become more LGBT representative or, you know, has more rep, while also simultaneously talking about how they will block Pride content in certain countries. Unreal. See, Overwatch, the team is actively discussing a trans character. Who needs this crap? You know why this stuff is important, why you need this crap, is if your game's not good. Sorry if you like Overwatch. Maybe you think it's really good, but it obviously could be better because they're investing time and money into this garbage that has nothing to do with gameplay. A lot of this pushback comes from this tweet. Pride content in Overwatch 2 will be blocked in countries that have laws against LGBTQ+ content. But that's where it's needed, my friend. That's where Blizzard needs to show their support. They need to be strong allies. But see, that would mean potentially getting banned there or losing money. They don't want to do that. They don't want to give up the Chinese market, right? They'll happily get rid of all the skeletons from Diablo because some loser in China says they have to. Whilst the Overwatch team wanted to, quote, follow the laws in the countries that we operate in. Aaron Keller says our values are to protect players. What? What? I 100% agree. Look at this thing. If they actually cared, they'd release it in the countries anyway, even if they do get banned. They don't care. They care more about their money and only their money. We care about diversity, but not when it loses us money. Cringe, LMAO cowards. I'm moving to China. Nice attempt, but I'm still not playing this mid-game. So those countries have a better version of this game. I mean, like, this is what people are talking about. Instead of talking about some new gameplay mechanic or, you know, something like that, they're talking about this stuff. You know, they're talking about, garbage. Overwatch 2's Pride event content will be blocked for some players. Pride is finally coming to Overwatch 2. Oh my God. Tens of people were waiting for it. In the form of a special event featuring map makeovers, cosmetics, and other goodies. So the 99.5% of players of this game that are straight will now have to endure this for the next month. Now, you might say, well, endure what? It's just a flag. Get triggered. Okay, cool. Well, then when is the straight pride month? The breeders month, right? For a whole month, I want nothing but super straight. I don't know. Is there a super straight flag, I believe. During an interview with Deserto, Overwatch 2 devs revealed that methods to protect players in countries with anti-LGBT laws from participating, that's not protecting them. They're banned. And Deserto, by the way, which is a rag, printed that. If they actually cared, they wouldn't call it protecting them. They would call it blocking them, because that's what Blizzard is doing. According to senior game producer Brandy Stiles, who I'm sure has some pronouns in their bio, all Overwatch 2 Pride content will be opt-in to give players a choice to express themselves or not. Good. Okay? That's fine if they opt-in. We have tech in place to limit this content from going out to countries that have laws that aren't tolerant of LGBT content. She added, this helps us protect those players. No, it doesn't. It helps you make the money. It helps you make the money, bro. At least admit it. You're not protecting the players. And by the way, I'm wondering, in terms of opting into this propaganda, are the players, other players in the game, if one player, like you see it at Call of Duty, like every freaking call sign's a trans flag or LGBT, there's like a million LGBTQ flags that you can choose from in your call sign in Call of Duty. Why? I don't know. Maybe work on fixing and balancing the game. And then, like, the idea, I mean, there's a reason that games like Dota and all this stuff are, you know, popular forever and ever and ever. We have tech in place to limit this content. Well, I don't want to see it. Can I opt out? If I'm playing your game, can I say, I don't want to see it? What if I use that sweet VPN that I previously mentioned, private internet access, change my location to Saudi Arabia? Do I get the regular version of the game? Furthermore, players in countries who are not LGBT friendly won't be able to opt in for the Pride event due to laws in place. Money. Money. That's why they're not. It's so funny. And then, by the way, you know, getting this is like, clearly a, you know, Overwatch, just an Overwatch news Twitter feed. But like, you know, the quote tweets are great. Everyone should just stop playing Overwatch. Problem solved. Based. Empty words then. So proud, so brave. Everyone's making fun of it. In the least shocking turn of events, big company doesn't actually care about Pride. They only do it for the money. And I do think that there are a lot of members of the LGBTQ community who see through this. They know they're being pandered to. Being a dude who likes dudes does not inherently make you stupid. Okay? And they know that this is bologna sausage. How would this work with this? You know, a trans character. Well, that character would be blocked from those countries too. I'm sorry. The players would be protected. And, you know, it's spoiling. All this is, of course, doing a little bit to spoil the Diablo excitement. I think, you know, it's okay to enjoy Diablo. It's okay to enjoy some content from companies that you hate because life is short. But, you know, you could see Blizzard's trending. Why do we think Blizzard's trending? Blizzard faces any sort of controversy. Blizzard, the hamster loves eating rear end. This is the, so everyone's responding. And this is probably the third or fourth time that Blizzard's done this, essentially gay baited. Like anytime no one cares about their, whatever, they're like, oh, here's a new gay character. That'll keep you distracted. It's hilarious. Just make good games and you don't need this crap. It's a wild day out there as the kind of the Bud Light stuff is waning off a little bit and the Target stuff is still going strong. There is actually other things going on. You know, a lot of people will say, oh my God, more Bud Light videos. That's why I do so many videos. Like today we did the IMDb Rotten Tomatoes Little Mermaid thing. Yes, we did a Bud Light, but then we had AOC. I've got a Blizzard video that should be out by the time this is out. This Disney video, which is interesting. So I really appreciate everyone's support. And if you haven't yet, there's a red subscribe button down below the video. YouTube makes it really hard to find my videos. So I'm hoping that I'll earn your subscription today. And we all know that Disney loves their woke trash. They love to do anything that can draw the eye of the woke approval. And this particular case, again, we have a man in a dress working a store for little girls because we live in a clown world. Now, here's the thing. Again, many of my viewers will continually remind me that I'm too soft, and maybe you're right, but look, this dude wants to wear a princess dress, more power to him, okay? The issue is, by Disney placing this employee here to interact with young kids all day, every day, what's happening is this conversation is now being thrust upon families who did not ask for it and may not be ready to have that conversation. So this particular thing is like, Mommy, why is that man with a mustache wearing a dress? As a family that's, you know, saved up for 2 years just to go to Disney. A male Disneyland employee dressed as Fairy Godmother's apprentice has caused outrage and led for calls for the entertainment resort to be boycotted. Footage of the worker has a mustache wearing a blue and purple dress as he welcomes a young girl at the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique in Anaheim, California, has of course gone viral. It was posted by Courtney Faber, a mother of three, who is documenting her family's trip to Disneyland, and she praised the workers for providing her daughter with an unforgettable experience. Well, I bet it was unforgettable. But critics have hit out at Disney for allowing a male to wear a costume dress and called it inappropriate. The company has made efforts to be more inclusive and progressive in recent years, but it's upset some fans who thinks it's gone too far with the woke changes. I just think, first of all, you can be a man that works in the fairy dress store or whatever. Just dress like a man. It's just odd. My name is Nick. I'm one of Fairy Godmother's apprentices. And it's not just like a dude who's wearing something that looks vaguely like a dress. He's got full makeup on. He's in drag. Right? Ooh, unfortunate picture there for her. The viral clip shows Disney employee dressed up as a fairy godmother's apprentice and wearing matching eyeshadow. So my name is Nick, and I'm one of Fairy Godmother's apprentices, he said, while welcoming the little girl to the store. I'm here to shop you around and help you make all your selections for the day. It was viewed by more than 7.6 million people since it was posted on May 26th and has been met with huge backlash. Conservative writer Peachy Keenan said a man in drag is not only bizarre and inappropriate, but it takes guests out of the show. The illusion is broken. Well, yeah, but I mean, is it really that much of an illusion anymore? I mean, don't you think that this is pretty common for Disney now? It won't be long till men in dresses are just a part of their program. You know, just a part of their standard fare. You know, just a quick check-in. how the Disney stock has been doing over the last month. Well, it's down nearly 14%, is at $87.96 a share. You know, a lot of people think the stock will bounce back, but it's difficult to know for sure. I mean, it's going to depend on a lot on the Little Mermaid box office, which the second week is obviously going to be extremely important. So conservative writer PG Kinney writes, a man in a drag is not only bizarre and inappropriate, but takes the guests out of the show. Nothing matters but the agenda, and your four-year-old is a pawn. They're happy to mind flay. While Dave Rubin, who hosts a Rubin Report, this fellow will be hired by the Biden to run out nuke program by the end of the day. This is a dude with a mustache in a dress, not a trans person. That's think how many real girls want that job at Disney, and they gave it to him for a reason. I mean, that's very true. You know, there is a reason this individual has that job. You had Sarah Gonzalez, stop taking your family to Disney. Bobby Moody says, I'm already boycotting Disney, so should everyone else. You know, may you never suffer the same destruction of your legacy that poor Walt Disney has. And Brandon Morris, an editor at conservative political blog Red State, added, I already read that. Others called for a boycott, of course. Cast members who work for Disney's Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique were previously called fairy godmothers in training. But the company ditched this in favor of fairy godmother's apprentices last summer in a bid to be more inclusive to those who don't identify as female. At this time, Disney said, this way, cast members who might not identify as female can still be a part of the process to dress up like a woman and style the kids without having to refer to themselves as a female Disney character. I mean, is this really that important? Children between the ages of 3 and 12 visit the boutique to get, quote, magical makeovers. Here's the video.
So my name's Nick. I'm one of Fairy Godmother's apprentices. I'm here to shop you around and make all your selections for the day.
$250? I mean, that's the real crime. $250. That's gross and wrong. The left wants us to be normal so bad they'll even shove it in kids' faces at Disneyland. That's the level of depravity we're up against here. I mean, I don't really get it. You know, it says, no worries, it's just Cinderfella. You have all this stuff. It's just, at some point, people have had enough. I mean, if you look back at this original article, this was back in July of last year, right? Just under a year ago. Disney swaps fairy godmother role at parks for gender-neutral apprentice. Is that what's really important? How about people being able to afford to go there? Who can even afford to go there, for crying out loud? You know, I don't even understand why. I mean, I guess there's just not that many people who are just like aware of everything that's going on. And they don't really know, for example, you know, that this stuff is nefarious a lot of times and really bizarre. You know, this on, of course, you know, the day that Splash Mountain closed. Why? Because of more racism. Now, the ride was outdated, and it had some weird outdated references. I don't know how many black folks went through that and felt offended, but this was an iconic ride that I remember from my childhood. I feel like they would have been better off just like at least keeping it called Splash Mountain, but like instead of having it, like, you could just remove the weird outdated references to slavery. You know, the classic ride closed permanently Wednesday 31st. It will undergo a retheming and emerge as Tiana's Bayou Adventure, a new action based on the 2009 animated hit The Princess and the Frog. Nobody's going to remember this ride ever. Everyone remembers Splash Mountain. Nobody remembers that it was supposedly racist. Okay. Everybody remembers the walk up there waiting in line. This is, you know, last time I was at Disney, last time I was just a kid. So I, you know, and my parents said there was no such thing as flash passes, or at least we couldn't afford them. So everybody waited in line. So you remember the walk up, you remember all the animatronics, all this kind of stuff. This is what Disney does, Disney Plus. So as long as people stop giving these lunatics their money, things will get better. I am sure of it. I hope you enjoyed this video. If you did, I hope that I will earn your subscription. There's a button right down below. Whether you're watching on YouTube, Rumble, BitChute, Odyssey, doesn't bother me. Just as long as you're watching, I'm thankful. And we'll talk to you again real soon.